Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling. Do you believe you are capable of choosing your future? Sometimes it takes just one person to believe in you, for you to believe in yourself. If you find yourself continuing to say, someday I will take better care of myself, only to continue living the same day over and over and over again, then you, my friend, are in the right place. I am your biggest cheerleader, inspiring you to become you on purpose and with intention. Are you ready to create a life you love? I'm excited to share with you some big ideas that you can use today to inspire, impact, and influence your life and everyone in it. The Becoming You Show starts now. Hello, my friends. How are you? Welcome to a new month. What are your plans? I want to know what do you have going on? I am headed to a Good Life event next week in Salt Lake City. It's a fundraiser. So if you want to join me there, it's next week. If you know anybody that lives in Utah or over there on the West Coast, invite them. It's going to be spectacular. I'm also going to be speaking at the Dental Festival in New Orleans at the end of the month. And I'm really excited about that. Kids go back to school and just lots of awesome things happening this month. But before we dive into a new month, I thought I would reflect on last month. As you may or may not know, July is my birthday month, and I loved celebrating with all of my people. I loved hanging out with my family. We just got back from Gull Lake. We spent a week up there tubing and boating and hanging out and just really being offline. And usually my birthday lands on one of the days on vacation. So I was just able to sit out on the deck and think about what I've learned this year, recount my many, many failures, and acknowledge some of my wins. And it also just happens to be halfway through the year. So I was able to see where I was sitting with regards to my goals. And as I was thinking about my year and what I've learned, I thought I would do a podcast to kind of share some of these with you today. So let's dive in. The first thing as I was sitting out there is I've learned that I need to fail more. I mean, lots more. I teach this, but I know I don't know this if I haven't integrated it into the decisions that I am making. I realized this when I was talking with my son, Logan, who started his own car detailing business. And we talked about his goals for the summer and how much money he wanted to make and what that would mean for him in terms of no's, meaning how many houses would he have to walk up to? How many people would he have to introduce himself to? How many business cards would he have to give out to get a yes? And I reminded him that every no was required for every single yes. There was one evening that he came home and defeated after several knocks and some quite verbal rejections. I asked, did you get any yeses? And he said, yes. And I said, did you learn with the no's? And we talked through that a little bit. We reworked his introduction and what he does to make it less complicated. And I reminded him that all of this was just great news. Now it's just math. He needs to make about 6 introductions for a yes. That's it. And what clouds the math is the mind. The mind wants to make all the rejection personal. And I get it. But we need to know that the mind is just trying to protect us. It is trying to avoid disappointment, to avoid embarrassment and rejection. And it does this by offering to ourselves and our mind that this is just too hard, that I'm not making progress, that maybe the work that I do is not that important. Maybe people will be annoyed by me. And examining all these quote unquote doubt thoughts are what is required to get leverage over them to balance them out with confident thoughts. Thoughts like they don't have to like you. You have to like you. They don't have to believe in your business. You do. Being rejected is only possible if you are rejectable, which you're not. It allows us to discover the mind and separate the mind from the math. So a couple of things to keep in mind is if you are not confronted on the daily with doubtful thoughts, your dreams, your goals, they're just not big enough. I know big goals seem scary, but living an unfulfilled, comfortable life is scary as well. I want you dreaming bigger than what you believe to be possible. I don't want it necessarily to be realistic, because if it's realistic, it means that you have done it before, which means that you have to learn nothing new. You won't have to become anything different in order to achieve it. And in that regard, it's just another item on your to-do list. So having this conversation with Logan made me realize that I wasn't putting myself out there to fail more, like on purpose. I'd gotten really comfortable. I had told myself that I didn't have the bandwidth for more, that I didn't have the time or the energy, that it just wasn't a priority for me. Wait, what? What? My goals? My dreams? Not a priority? Or what was really truthful when I sat with it and was honest about it was I just too scared to make it a priority? And so when I unraveled all of that, the question that came to me was, what was I scared about? Was I scared that people aren't ready for this work? Was I scared that people wouldn't like my clutter-free course? It's what I'm putting out there right now into the world. Am I scared that people will be disappointed in my messaging? Well, am I scared that people will say the work that I'm doing is harmful? Especially with the clutter-free course, am I so scared that I'm not offering it up in a bigger way? Meaning I wasn't getting enough no's because I wasn't getting really any feedback at all. Was I scared that there would be nothing novel or new about the book that I'm writing? So I used the excuse of being busy with kids this summer to stop writing it. I was called out recently by a good friend of mine when he asked what I've been working on. And I said, I'm kind of taking a pause on my book because the summer has been pretty full with, you know, other commitments and obligations. And he said, like only a good friend can, wait, you're telling me that you didn't have 30 minutes a day to write? So he called me out on my BS. And that's what I've been calling the blame shame loop, right? Blaming my situation on not having enough time or energy to write the book and shaming myself for not being author worthy. And as we know, procrastination is a byproduct of this BS cycle. Shame keeps me hiding the truth. The truth is I don't feel like writing this book. But then I'm reminded why it is that I'm writing this book in the first place. I'm writing this book to explore me. And in my exploration of self, my hope is that I can connect and support and evolve and grow and inform other people in their own journey and better direct mine. My friend also reminded me that most authors think that their book is going to change the world, right? That's kind of a lot of pressure. But most books that are bought are never even read. I mean, I can kind of totally attest to that. I have so many books that I bought with the hopes of reading, but they just sit in a pile to be scheduled in my reading rounds. So if I could like off-shoulder this notion that the book was going to change the world, right? That if only 10% of people that actually bought the book read the book, then it comes back to why was I writing the book? And I was writing the book to see what I'm capable of. Like this type of goal, just like Logan's goal, requires us to explore the doubts that come up. We procrastinate so that we can have the doubts, the shame. But what if the whole goal of setting a goal was to reveal the doubtful programming in your mind? What if the goal was the fail, the learning opportunity to rework, reset, and reprogram new wiring in the brain? Procrastination is the surefire way to fail ahead of time. But it's worse because there's nothing new to learn, just more to shame. So that's the first thing that I kind of processed in my head as I was working through the lessons that I had learned. Okay. I need to fail more and I need to do it on purpose. The second thing that I learned is that other people are my curriculum. They reveal to me opportunities to explore who I am and then choose consciously who I prefer to be. And man, have I had so many opportunities this year. I believe in God, and I also believe in the energy of the universe. And I think if you have been feeling perhaps a disproportionate amount of challenge, I want you to consider it your awakening. Maybe it really is more challenging this year for me. Maybe I am less tolerating to my previous tolerations. Maybe I had just grown lazy in doing the work over the past few years. I don't know. But the situations, people in my life are giving me direction to redefine how I want to show up, how I want to think, and more importantly, how I want to love others for them and for me. I have had people steal from me. I have had people say terrible, mean things about me, my family, my business. I've had people manipulate situations to turn people against me. I have been the center of rejection on multiple projects because of my gender, because of my brand colors, because I haven't finished my PhD programming. I have been intentionally not invited to events and parties. Like, all of these situations gave me an opportunity to learn and remember what I believe is the most important lesson to ever embrace and integrate into your identity, which is nothing that you experience, do you experience outside of yourself, which means I have also been my situation, right? I've let people down in my feeling, right? I've overcommitted. I've not been available. I've undercommitted. I stole from me. I stole my time, my energy, my resources. I've said terrible things about me. I've rejected the very things that others have rejected. And yet somehow that's okay. Somehow it's okay for me to reject and say awful things about me. But when everyone else does, it's not okay. It's kind of hypocritical. I've let myself down. I've avoided negative emotion. I've procrastinated. I've allowed myself to be angry and reactive. I've uninvited me from my life. I have delegated emotions to my children by way of worry and disappointment and frustration. And then I've been annoyed that they're not shouldering it well, surprised that they are humans with agency. And wait, what? I'm not top of their mind when it comes to navigating their lives? As if they should just kind of wake up and think, how can I serve my mom better today? Heck, I don't even do that for myself. Which leads me to another important lesson that I continue to work on. And this year has given me lots and lots of chances. People are going to be people. People are going to fall short and operate from the same fear and doubt and uncertainty that I do. People are going to white knuckle life as a way to feel in control of it, but only to really squeeze the life out of it. And from time to time, we get squeezed if we let them. I'm constantly reminding my brain that I'm the creator of my life and the observer of everyone else's. Observer, like watching a movie. I love this analogy, and I've used it often on the show, and I've used it often by way to demonstrate to my clients, but I've needed to remind myself of this a lot this year. I like to think that although I am the director and writer and actor in the movie that is my life, I am the observer in others. When I try to interject my Steven Spielberg initiatives in the lives of others, it doesn't go well, right? People don't want to be told how to live their life. They also prefer not to be judged for it, as if you know best. Think about it from the perspective of watching a movie, right? Like most movies by design have parts that invoke a complete range of emotion, right? They are intense and they're funny and they're sad and they're exciting and they're worrisome and they're scary, but we're not sitting there judging the movie. We're not sitting there thinking that something has gone terribly wrong, right? Which means, by the way, that you can experience negative emotion and live and not be reactive to it, right? We're not thinking, what was the director thinking? How dare there be pain? How dare there be injustice? How dare people get their heart broke? How dare there be sadness? We just get the front row to watch others direct the movie of their life. And I think to the extent that we can do it without judgment is the extent that I believe that we can live life to the fullest. Judgment keeps us out of curiosity and therefore out of our rational brain thinking, which means we don't learn. And if we don't learn, we don't grow and we stay same and we stay stuck and bitter, blaming everyone else on why our life is the way it is. It prevents us from directing our movie because we're too busy trying to direct everyone else's. And when we do that, that being letting other people be them, letting other people live their life, we can be left to live ours. Right? Is there a letting go that is required? Yes, we must let go that we know what's better for them. We can't possibly know that. We have to let go of the thinking that we are the only one that is right. We have to let go of thinking that other people shouldn't have to suffer, thinking that people shouldn't be frustrated or disappointed or upset or hurt. That would be like saying that people shouldn't also be happy and excited or joyful. Because remember, friends, you can't have one set of emotions without the others. That'd be like telling my son, Logan, you know what, bud? I think it's just too hard for you to go door to door, to push yourself there, to push yourself out there in the world where people can slam doors on you and tell you to get off their property and tell you not to come back. I actually think you should just quit and go work for someone else, as if that will be better emotionally. Because here's what I know for sure, circling back up to my very first lesson on failing more, if we're not putting a challenge in our path on purpose, our brain will go to work to create problems for ourselves. If they're not our own challenges to solve for, we will no doubt insert ourselves into other people's challenges. Your brain is very, very good at solving problems. It is constantly looking for a problem to solve. And I would much rather it be solving for the challenge that you created on purpose, one that allows you to step into the potential of who it is that you are, one that allows for the fullest amount of growth and progress rather than one left to its own accord. Okay. It is in the letting go that you release yourself of the responsibility of the screenplay of others. Doing this frees you up of the responsibility required to live your life, the responsibility to rewrite your story, the responsibility to direct your movie. I want this freedom for every single human on the planet. And I think that is why I created my clutter-free course, because letting go and freeing yourself from the expectations of others is just one of the many, many freedoms you will learn when you take this course. This course is a culmination of everything that I have learned when it comes to unburdening your life from the needless clutter that overwhelms us, that annoys us, that robs us and keeps us stuck. So if any of these lessons resonated with you, if the challenge kind of scares you to put yourself out there to fail more, if the notion of letting go of other people's opinions of you, letting go of the control in the directorship and the agency of other humans is something that you think that would set your life up better for more success, more growth, more freedom. I want you to click the clutter-free course in the show notes. Click on it. There's a landing page. There's a product page. It will tell you everything that you will learn in this clutter-free course. When I did this course by way of retreat, it was thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. You'll take it for a fraction of that. So if you feel cluttered in your life, right? Lacking focus, purpose, time, and the resources that you need to take your life to the next level, this course is for you. And I want you to make an investment in yourself. I do. And this is me putting myself out there to fail. This is me inviting you to look at it and say no to it and reject it. It's also inviting you to potentially say, you know what? I would love to get another month in my life. I would love to be able to be more intentional about the rhythm of my days and live this balanced life that people talk about that eludes me, even though I try to fight for it. I want to understand the burdens of my beliefs. I want to better regulate my emotions so that I can choose joy and choose whatever feeling I want to feel on purpose. I want this for my life. I want to be able to integrate some better habits so that I can be more successful in whatever way I want to be, whether that's wealth success or health success or relational success. I want to be able to cultivate those habits. All of these things I talk about as we declutter our life mentally, emotionally, behaviorally, temporally, that's time, right? Physically, our space, right? And if you would, this again is me failing on purpose. Would you share this podcast or even the clutter course link with someone that you know you one want to do this life with, and maybe you want to do it and live lighter with them, more joyfully with them? Maybe you do the clutter course together and challenge each other to free yourself of the mental, emotional, behavioral, temporal, relational clutter that no doubt sabotages your ability to live and step into the most biggest life possible for you. I think we are all deserving of that. I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. And if you do nothing else, maybe you take just a beat right after this and write down maybe a few of the lessons that you've learned this year so far. It's August when you hear this. I want you to make August the best month possible, which means we have to understand and learn from what we've done and what we haven't. So can you maybe take a beat to narrate out some of the lessons and share them with me? I would love to hear what are the lessons that you've learned, or share with me some of the things that you would like to know more about so that you can learn and integrate into an advanced personal development opportunity for you. Send me. I love to hear from you. Have an amazing one. I love you. And we'll talk next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling, where I share big ideas to inspire, impact, and influence your life. Tune in every Friday at 11 Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com for your morning cup of coffee, the hug you never want to end, and that inspirational message that you felt was written just for you. Each show is inspiring you to become you with purpose and intention. For more information or to connect with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers.